Most High King, Lord of Lords, our Savior. First of all, I'd like to start out. Last week, y'all gave me a gift, and I really do appreciate it. I really do. It meant a lot. The gift cards, I'll take them. I love to eat, so thank you so much. But when I got home and kind of relaxed a little bit and I opened it up, I started reading the card. I was so, what people said, what they wrote down, meant so much more to me than those gift cards. And what y'all said, it was very encouraging. And I won't say I might have cried a little bit. I don't know. I live alone, so only my dogs can see me cry in Jesus. But anyway, I do appreciate it. It meant a lot. And thank you for the kind, kind words. I'm going to start out with a joke. Well, now, man, I messed that up. See, I'm already messing up. Anyway, did y'all hear that they found bones on the moon? Or seriously? Y'all didn't see that? The cow didn't quite make it over. Dad joke. Yeah. Well, I was sitting at a table with some customers the other day at lunch, and this guy just comes out of nowhere and tells us that joke. And a couple of them are going, "What?" I'm like, "So y'all never had kids?" I don't know how many times I read that. You get it. All right. Today I want to talk about God's promises, His promises to us. How many promises do you think there are in the Bible? Don't look at Google. Don't look at Google. Brenda, keep away from Google. How many promises God made to man? Take a guess. If you guess, I'll take you to lunch. I'll buy your lunch. How much?
365.
No.
Is it more or less?
Oh, a lot more.
3,620.
No. I was like, oh, no. I'm taking Brenda to lunch. No. Anyway, 7,487, according to Google. That's Google now. Y'all can go check me. Please check me. But really, the number's not that important. The important thing is that God made promises that we should place our hope in every day. So today I'm going to do an acrostic. I love doing those. Jim's got me doing those. I love them. It really helps me plan out my sermon. And it's really helpful. But it spells out promises. So there's a few to get through. But I'll try to get us out of here so we can beat the Methodist. What? Okay, I thought you said we don't have all day. Thanks. So the first one is P, for perseverance. In James 1, 2 through 4, consider it a pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. So if you claim to be a Christian, you are a Christian, you're going to face trials. You're also, Jesus says in the Word, that there will be trouble. So you're going to face trials and trouble every day if you're a Christian, if you're walking in the faith. Verse 3, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance, you also will be tested. 4, let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. When you come more mature in Christ, and how you do that, the best way to do it is through the Word, through prayer, and through spending time with Him. I talk about that many times. A lot of times I'll preach about the same thing because I want to get it across, because it's very important. So be in the Word, prayer, and spend some alone time with God. Romans 2:7, to those who by persistence in doing good seek glory, honor, and immortality, He will give eternal life. There's a promise right there. Hebrews 10:36, you need to persevere so that when you do have when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. What did he promise? Eternal life. I'm going to read a lot of scriptures. I'm going to be all over the place, so they'll be up here on the TV monitor. Lamentations 3:22-24. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, therefore I will wait for him. So when I looked up the meaning of portion, it's basically a person's destiny or lot. Our portion, our destiny, our lot awaits us. And what is that? Once again, what has he promised? Eternal life. So are we going to resurrection? John 11:25-26. John said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die, and whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Amen? See, this Jim's talked about this many times. This earthly suit we have, it's going to expire one day. But you know what? The spirit we were born with, it's going to live on forever and ever and ever. Now, I've heard this from Charles Stanley. I heard that. And Jim's also talked about it and preached about it, that it will never die. Your spirit will never die. This earthly body will perish. It's a promise. It's 100% chance that your body's going to perish. It's going to expire. But the good thing is, like I said, the spirit lives for eternity. And where do you want your spirit to spend eternity? In heaven. There's two places it can go. It can go to heaven, or it can go to hell. That's where you are in total darkness, separated from God's love for eternity. I don't want that. I don't think we talk about hell enough in church, but it's real, and it's out there. It's mentioned many times in the Bible. It's going to be where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. So we must believe in Jesus to live on spiritually in our new bodies that he has promised us. So that's another promise. In John 14:17-18, the Spirit of truth, the Word cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Promise of the Holy Spirit. All right. O for obedience. Everybody good? You're awful quiet. You what? You're not taking notes. Okay. Yeah. I'll ask you about that next week. I'm kidding, Barbara. All right. Obedience. John 14:15. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. When Jesus was asked, what is the greatest commandment? Do y'all know what they are? Love your Lord God with all your heart, mind, soul. Love your neighbor as yourself. Well, it's hard to love people right now, you know. Y'all know, y'all have heard me talk about it. I've been reading a book. This guy's talking about love. I'm like, how do you love everybody? I'm like, every Sunday night I'm fired up. Okay, I'm going to go love people tomorrow. Lord, show me people to love. Monday morning gets here, and I'm like, oh, my goodness. I can't love him. I can't love her. I mean, come on. I guess not. Right. It's easy to love people you know, like y'all. You got to love your enemies. Right. Exactly. You got to pray for your enemies. Well, that's hard to do. But we have to. It's a commandment. All right, 1 Peter 1:14. As obedient children, do not be conformed to the passions of your former ignorance. I really don't know why I put this in here, but I'm going to talk about it anyway. I've seen a lot of people in my lifetime. They get saved, they get baptized, they join a local church. But then I'm starting to wonder, I really don't know. I really don't know about them. I have my doubts about some people who claim to be a Christian. But in the end, it's not for me to judge that. I don't judge those people. God will. But the word does say that you are known by your fruits, right? You got good fruits, you got bad fruits. Matthew 7:15-20. We read this the other night, actually, in Bible study. And I was like, wait, y'all are taking my notes away. Y'all are doing my sermon here tonight. Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. By their fruit, you'll recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, and a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you'll recognize them. So basically, you'll know people by their fruit. How they act, how they treat others. They love like Jesus loves. What they do, their encouragement for you. Their walk, basically, their faith. You'll know. And you'll know people by their bad fruits, too. We have a lot of them today in the world. A lot. Luke 6:46, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I tell you? All right. Well, I was there at one time. I accepted Jesus. I thought I did. I thought I was all good. I had a free pass to heaven. You know, everything was all good. But I'm not going to get into that discussion about once saved, always saved. I'm not going to do it. But I've read this book right here, this book, the Bible. And if you become a believer, if you really trust Jesus, he's your Lord and Savior, you're going to live like he lives, not like the world lives. Don't be a part of the world. Be a part of him. For your old ways are gone. You are a new person in Christ. Isn't that great? Just accept him. Accept salvation, and you are a new person. And doesn't things get easier when you become that new person? Don't you have more peace a little bit? Yeah, right. It takes work. But you have peace. I find peace. And you should also be ecstatic to go tell others of your transformation into the family of God. Salvation is a free gift. And all you got to do is say yes to him. I just don't know why some Christians, air quotes, can act one way on Sunday, then they act like terrible the rest of the week. I won't say another word, but I better not.
Heathens.
Pagans. Why do they do it? I don't know. Once again, it's not for me to judge them. But I've been reading a book, like I said, and they're talking about, this guy's talking about counterfeit Christians. You know, you got counterfeit Christians, you got half-hearted Christians, you got, what else? What's that? Yep. But, can you really put an adjective? Is that an adjective, teachers? Is that an adjective? Counterfeit? So, you can't really put an adjective in front of Christian to me. You either are a Christian or you're not. Yeah, right. I'm kind of a Christian. Only on Sundays. But it's Monday. I'm going to be a heathen again. So we really have to walk in the Spirit and be kind to others. Be like Jesus. Anyway, so for salvation, claim Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Love God with all your heart, mind, and soul. Love your neighbor as yourself. that's being obedient, right? I'm trying to get this right back to obedient. Tell others about Jesus. Share the gospel. Being obedient. Bear good fruit. Being obedient. See, if you live in obedience to Jesus, you will reap all his promises. You know what his promise is? Eternal life. All right, M for mercy. We need this. Matthew 5:7. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Now, I got to tell something about this next scripture. Because Mary brought this up in Bible study the other night. And I was like, really? You're bringing up Micah? That's in my sermon too. Did you see my notes? What's going on? But to me, that's just kind of how the Spirit works. He works through two people in one church, family, to be thinking about the same verse. Isn't that great? That just blows my mind. I love that. So Micah 6:8. He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. All right, I'm going to say some Greek words here, and I will probably mess them up. I didn't Google these to get the pronunciation, so y'all just bear with me. I bet some of you do. What is the Greek word for mercy? Mercy in the Greek was eleos, I believe. E-L-E-O-S. Eleos. Is that right? Does that sound good? Thank you, Bella. Which is derived from the word for olive oil. Olive oil is used to treat wounds. Well, I use olive oil to cook with. I didn't know you could treat wounds with it. Anyway, but it was soothing, comforting, and healing. What's that sound like? Jesus. It speaks then to the merciful God who is all these things. Now, here we go again. In Hebrew, the word for mercy is hesed, I'm guessing. H-E-S-E-D, which means steadfast. So what is Jesus? He is steadfast, unwavering in his promises. He is our rock. He's our foundation. That's who we build our lives upon. We don't build them on our kids, on our families, on our jobs. We build them on Christ. Or at least we should be. One example in the Bible on mercy is when the woman was accused of being an adulterer. The Pharisees were accusing her of this, and they wanted to know what Jesus' thoughts were on it. What did Jesus say? He said, "Let any one of you who is without sin be the first to throw a stone at her." To her surprise, Jesus extends mercy when he tells her, "Neither do I condemn you. Go now and leave your life of sin." So Jesus is showing this woman mercy. You think God shows you mercy? Where this week has he shown you mercy? Every day. Try to think about this week when you feel mercy being given to you. Also, you got to love, like you said, love your enemies. You got to be merciful. You got to show mercy towards your enemies also. Wow. Okay. Really? Come on, Lord. No, that's right. That'd be trouble. Pick up your cross daily. Follow me. Follow me. So just be merciful as your Father is merciful to you. Idolatry. I'm not sure why I put this in here, but I want to talk about it. Galatians 5:19-21. The acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, and debauchery. Idolatry and witchcraft. Hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, I think factions is kind of like something political. I'm not sure what, but you know how factions split is what I'm thinking about. Anyway, that doesn't matter. And envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Well, that's a pretty bold statement there. You right? You got it? any of these, if you do any of these, I mean, hatred, yeah. I want to put a few people in chokeholds. You know, but then I'm like, I'm sorry, Jesus. I don't want to do that. I'll show them love. I'll show them love. Discord, jealousy, fits of rage. Idolatry, witchcraft. You got to be careful about witchcraft. You know, do you read your horoscope? I hope not. Because you know why? Because it's witchcraft. It's sorcery. There's certain books you watch or read, it's witchcraft. Certain movies, TV shows, watch out. Sabrina the Teenage Witch? Really? Okay. Sorry, I called that one out. But they make you kind of raise your eyes a little bit and go, Okay. So anyway, what I'm getting at is God, all his promises weren't good promises. Some of them are pretty harsh. And he promises you here, if you do any of these things, you will not inherit the kingdom of heaven where you won't reap your eternal reward. I've got some idols in my life. I'll tell you one I've got. It happened last night. No, they're thinking, what'd he do? What'd he do? Well, ever since I was like 7 years old, I've always been a UT football fan. I didn't watch it, to be honest. Because I've been praying to God to take this idol away from me. And I said, Lord, I can't let a football game dictate how I feel over the weekend. I've got to preach tomorrow. And I do. I have a problem. And it's a family tradition. My dad, I loved him. He's a good Christian man. But why did he do that to me? I do blame you for that one. No. But I really have to pray about it because it really bothers me and it dictates. I used to know the stats. I used to know the starting lineup, the three deep. I knew the recruiting. I'm getting right. I don't know those things anymore. That's good. I'm thinking God's taking it away from me. I didn't even watch the game last night. I mean, really? See? I think God said, okay, Wayne, I'm going to make Florida beat Tennessee. So here, I'm going to show you. Quit making it your idol. And I'm good. And I did sleep a little bit. But TV, it's an idol. Food, social media, bam. Idol. Some that may sting. Your family is an idol to you sometimes. Your children. Maybe your grandchildren or your idols. Who should you be putting first? You should be putting Jesus first, not anybody. Love me first. I think I told you one time, my dad and I were driving to my grandparents' house, and I was real young, probably 7 again, probably by the time he was messing my head up with football. He did teach me. No, he's a good man. He taught me. He kept me playing music. He helped me get the gift of music. Taught me, showed me, let me play with him. And basically, he took me to church, showed me who Jesus was. So he was a good man. We were going to my grandparents' house. I don't know what we were talking about. And I said, Dad, who you love the most? And I'm a kid. I'm like 7. He says, well, I love God first. Then I love your mother, and then you and your sister. And I was like, whoa, wait. You love God more than you love us? What's wrong with you, man? But he was, you know, I'm thinking, now I know what he's talking about. But it took that, you know, that teaching to show me that God comes first. But anyway, if you don't do these things, it is a promise that you will have eternal life with Jesus in heaven. Isn't that great? Isn't that great to know? All right, S is serve. 1 Peter 4:10-11. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. Every time we come to this building, we should be ready to serve. Right? What's Jim always say? I'm here to serve. You should be praying all week. All week, how can I serve the church this coming Sunday? And they're pretty simple. Bring some encouragement to somebody. Bring a scripture. Go pray for somebody that needs prayer. I know I see a lot of that going on in the back sometimes. That's encouraging. You're serving. Greet visitors. Give your testimony. We do that in share time. You know, it may touch somebody. You may serve somebody and they're like, wow, I didn't know that. That's the way I feel. But I think one of the most important things we can do to serve is to worship. We need to come in here every Sunday ready to worship. And that's what I'm talking about, getting prepared to come in here to worship. And not the praise team. We're not here. We're here to help lead y'all into worship. But we're not here for any kind of show. But you should come in ready to worship our Lord and Savior. Because you know what? One day when you go to heaven, that's what you're going to be doing. Every day. You're going to be worshiping Him. You're going to be at the throne. Right? If you don't like worshiping here, what are you going to do when you're in heaven? You can't go play golf. Can't watch a UT football game. Hopefully not. Please, Lord, take it away from me. Y'all crack me up. But anyway, just come in Sunday. If everybody here came in to serve, this church would grow so much. It would grow. And it's growing now. So maybe y'all doing a little serving you don't even know about. Luke 22:27. For who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? It is not the one who is at the table, but I am among you as one who serves. Mark 10:45. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. 1 Peter 4:10-11. If anyone speaks, they should do so as one who speaks the very words of God. If anyone serves, they should do so with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. Amen. To Him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. All right, we're getting to the last one here. Y'all doing good? All right, you're off of quiet. Encouragement. Hey, we're going to talk about encouragement again. But anyway, if you serve, you're being obedient. And God's promises are there for you if you'll just do what He says. All right, encouragement. Philippians 4:13. This is a famous scripture. Anybody know it? What do y'all think it means? All right. Right. Paul's comment is specifically referring to the ability of a Christian to endure hardship and persecution. I know a lot of people use this verse. You know, they use it when they go in for a test or, you know, when they go to a game or something like that, you know, players got on their uniform or something like that. But really, to me, what this verse is saying, this is Wayneology. You can double check me. I don't know. I may have read this somewhere, but it made a lot of sense. But what it's really saying is when you endure and persevere and when you are in your faith, He will give you strength to overcome any fear, rejection, ridicule you may face in that situation. So basically, what I'm thinking about is He's going to be there when you go out and tell others about Jesus. You shouldn't fear. He's going to strengthen you when you go tell people about the Lord and about salvation, what he's done for you. So to me, that's more about what it means. It gives you that strength. We need that strength. It's hard. It's hard to talk to some people. I've been listening to a podcast on Jonah, a guy doing a series on Jonah. And, you know, he had to go to Nineveh, and these people were wicked. But the Lord was with him. And a lot of people were saved. They knew God after he went in and told them about him. Psalms 34:4. I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. Promise. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Promise. He is a deliverer from all your fears and will give you the desires of your heart. Like I said, it's another promise. Oh, and I did have one more. Salvation. We've got S left. Promises. It's plural. Okay. One more. So S, the last S, is salvation. It's the most important. Titus 3:5. He saved us not because of righteous things we have done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. Wasn't that good? Romans 10:9-10. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe that you are justified, and it's with your mouth that you profess your faith and are saved. That's a promise. Paul's telling you that promise in the book of Romans. And the most important promise in the Bible is one of the most famous verses there are. You ain't got it. Y'all want to say it with me? All right. For God so loved the world, his only begotten Son, whoever believes in him, perish eternal. Amen. Are you trusting in Jesus, your Lord and Savior today? Do you believe he's going to do the things he promises? I'm going to go Baptist on you real quick. Pentecostal. But if you were to die today, tonight, do you know where you're going? If you don't, today's a good day. Let's get it done. Right? I got to tell you a little story. One quick story and we're done. I was on the phone with this lady. That's a couple, 3 weeks ago. And I'm trying to find somebody to do an estate sale from my mom's house. Boy, this lady could talk, man. I mean, she's from West Tennessee, so it doesn't surprise me. But then I started hearing, we kept talking, I heard her say, well, you know, Wayne, just pray about it. I was like, okay, yeah, definitely, I'm going to pray about it. And she kept saying it. I was like, okay, I got my Christian woman here. So we kept talking, and she says, well, I can't do it in like a couple weeks because I'm going to Scotland, me and my husband. I said, okay, that's fine. I'm in no hurry. We're in no hurry. And she said, would you keep me in your prayers? Because I've got, leg syndrome? What is it? Restless? She says, I have that, and I'm really dreading the flight going over. It's going to be a long flight. And I says, you know what? I'm going to pray for you right now. I'm going to pray for you right here. And I said, Lord, just help. I forgot her name. Sorry. Let me think. Can't remember the name of her company. Oh, no. I'm going to have to Google it again. Hey, are you the lady that went to Scotland? But anyway, I prayed for her, and she went, Wayne, can I ask you something? I said, yes, ma'am. She says, are you Pentecostal? I said, well, I come from a line of them. And I said, what makes you say that? And she says, well, I never had many people do that, and especially in Jesus' name. I says, well, you found me. I'm going to do it. So anyway, that's what I have for today. I hope it was encouraging. And let me pray. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for what you've given us. Lord, thank you for all the promises that you do make, have made for us in your word. Lord, we thank you that we can persevere through hard times with your promises. Dear Lord, you've got the promise of the resurrection. Dear Lord, you know, you died on a Friday and you rose again on Sunday. And you said, there you go. You told everybody, Father, that this was a promise. You made that promise. Dear Lord, just let us be obedient to you this week. Tell others about you, Father. Go out into our marketplace, to our homes. Start with our homes, Father. Be obedient to you and let our kids show us that we're obedient, Father. Lord, we just love you so much. We love you. We love this church. Dear Lord, if there's anyone here who's struggling, dear Lord, we pray for them. We lift them up. Dear Lord, we know you're the great healer, physician, that you will care for them, Father, that you will care for us. Dear Lord, just be with Jim and Debbie as they're gone. Dear Lord, just bring them back safely to us. Dear Lord, just be with us. Thank you for all your mercy that you give us every day and grace and the many blessings, even the small blessings, Father. We're so happy and so joyful that you give those to us, Father. Lord, just love you. Love you so much. It's in your precious, precious loving name that we pray. Everybody said, amen.